This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines. All right, we are back. And there's my man, John Michaels. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at John Michaels U. You can catch him at 680 The Fan, 6 to 10 every morning there on 680 The Fan. And also a contributor to State of the U, which the State of the U absolutely sucks right now. John, how you doing, baby?
Good to see you, Big O. How you doing?
Good to see you, my man. See, that's what I like about this format. We actually get to see each other
right
while we're talking, which is a beautiful thing. First of all, before I get into anything talking Dolphins and Falcons and getting your thoughts on the Canes, this craziness with Watson, I have shot it down every time it's come out all throughout the year because I don't believe anybody's going to trade. We just had Aaron Wilson on, and he talked about the 22 lawsuits, the 10 legal, the 10 criminal investigation lawsuits that are also not lawsuits, investigations that are going on Deshaun Watson. This is still going on. To me, it makes no sense that any team would trade for him, not just Miami. I just, you know, John, I've been at this for 31 years. You've been at this. How long is it now for you?
20 years now.
Okay, so you're at the cynical stage already, because we've been lied to by all kinds of people right in sports. So you're already there. Yeah, because when you meet these newbies, like, you know, they're only been in the business 2 or 3 years. They haven't been railroaded enough to really understand what the hell this business is all about. And I just get the feeling that I don't think other teams are trying to trade for him. Mm-hmm. I think they inquired last year in the offseason when it initially began. And then throughout the year, maybe Houston has made a call to kind of find out. I get the feeling that Houston, this is all desperation from Houston more than anything else. Because you noticed McLean, who is as respected in our business as it comes. But he's not telling you that it's going to happen. So I kind of get the feeling that he's doing a favor to the organization. Like, hey, talks out there, all that kind of stuff. They're trying to get something done, but they're not saying that it's going to get done. So I get a feeling that Houston's so desperate that they don't know what's coming. So if he's found guilty, they have no leverage in the offseason. If he's found innocent, they can obviously put him up for the highest bidder, and there'll be several teams trading for him. But I don't think anybody in the NFL within their right minds is going to trade for a guy that's there's still a chance that he could be found guilty. So how do you view all of this? Because I just common sense tells me it makes no sense to trade for him right now.
You know, one of the things, and you've been around this as long as I have, I worked with an NFL team for a decade. I know how this works when it comes to the people closest to the team. The team is going to give information that they want put out there. I mean, if you just follow the tea leaves and listen to this Adam Schefter story when all the John Gruden stuff came out, you realize a lot of times these beat writers and reporters are a lot closer to the team, and they're protecting the team a hell of a lot more than putting out. And don't get me wrong, John McClain is, you talk about respected. There's not a guy around the NFL that might be more respected than him. But I guarantee there's somebody in that Houston organization that said, wait a second, this Deshaun Watson news has gone radio silent. Nobody's calling. The Jaguars didn't call, obviously drafted a quarterback. You know, Denver didn't call. They signed Bridgewater. The Dolphins didn't make a move. And now all of a sudden we're getting to the trading deadline, which I think is in about 10 or 11 days in the NFL. We got to drum up some interest right now, and that could be what you're doing. Now, if Deshaun Watson is found innocent, or if he pays money and makes this go away, and just say Roger Goodell slaps him with a 4 or 6 game suspension, teams then might be really willing to say, hey, we'll give you 2 first-round picks. We'll throw in a starting defensive back. Until that happens, you're talking about 22 sexual lawsuits. I'm not saying he's guilty because I don't know, and I always live under the presumption of innocent until proven guilty. But when there's 22 different people saying the same thing about you, something smells real fishy in that argument.
And there's 10 criminal investigations that the cops are also – addressing, which those are the serious ones there, because obviously those are the ones that if there's anything to it, it's jail time. Civil, it's money. And obviously if he's found guilty, then now all of a sudden that's another burden for any of these teams, because it becomes a PR nightmare, because you're basically telling your female fans, well, we don't care that we're acquiring a sexual predator. You know what I mean? And that, that's why none of this makes any sense. That, you know, I get it, man. Teams do stupid things at times.
Oh, yeah.
Our Dolphins have done plenty of stupid things in the past, all of that. But I don't think any of the 31 teams are stupid enough at this point to trade for a guy with a ton of legal issues. I just don't see it.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying. The NFL, unfortunately, has told fans the only thing that they care about is the teams individually winning football games. Tyreek Hill had the stuff with his kid, you know, whether he was guilty or not. Kansas City was like, yeah, we're going to play him. Leonard Little killed a teammate. I mean, think about that. Leonard Little of the Rams literally vehicular manslaughter killed one of his teammates and was back in the NFL and played another 8-9 years.
Hold on. Leonard Little killed a woman. You're thinking about the Dallas Cowboy that killed the teammate and the next week was on the sidelines.
Former defensive lineman. He killed somebody in a vehicular homicide. We were looking it up the other day.
He killed a woman. Okay. He killed a woman. Yeah. The one that killed the teammate was, I forgot the guy's name, but remember Jerry brought him back the following week on the sidelines and I were like, yo, what are you doing? You know what I mean? That kind of
stuff. That's right.
The woman and was back after 8 games.
Yeah, the point to that, though, is if you can play, you're going to get a chance to play in this league. Ben Roethlisberger, that happened in the state I live in. You know, it kind of got swept under the rug. He did a suspension, but guess what? Ben Roethlisberger came back. My point to that is nobody wants the PR nightmare in 2021. Something happened in 2006. You could trade for Deshaun Watson today, and they go, all right, we're going to let this guy play. I just find it hard to believe that somebody would not only trade for him with a PR nightmare, but pay the price. Houston, Nick Caserio has said, I want 3 first-round picks. He needs to be drug tested because nobody's giving them 3 first-round picks for Deshaun Watson. Not today.
No, and a few second-round picks, too, on top of the 3 first-rounders. Oh, yeah, they want a lot, dude. All right, let's talk about the mess that is this game between the Dolphins and the Falcons. How's the Falcon Nation right now overall with what's going on in Atlanta?
Honestly, a lot better than they were 3 weeks ago. You know, you lose the first 2 games. They got their ass kicked by the Eagles. They weren't even competitive. They actually played 3 good quarters against Tampa and then turned it over twice, a couple of pick sixes. And at that point, we're looking around going, all right, this team has no talent. You know, their fans that said maybe we should have drafted Justin Fields instead of Kyle Pitts. And then all of a sudden something happened. Matt Ryan and Arthur Smith, our head coach, really got on the same accord offensively. Last 3 games, Matt Ryan's thrown for almost 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, and they're 2-1 in those games. And if the defense doesn't give up a late score to Washington, they're 3-0. So I think people are starting to come around to, hey, this team is better than we thought it would be. Problem with the Falcons right now, they are devoid of talent. There's a couple of frontline guys. Matt Ryan, you know. Calvin Ridley, you know. First-round pick Kyle Pitts, really good. Defensively, it's Grady Jarrett. And that's about it. So there's not a lot of talent, but the team is doing something they didn't do a year ago under Dan Quinn. They're not making stupid mistakes week in and week out, and they seem to be trending in the right direction. I'll be honest, though, we look at this game and go, there's no way we should lose to this Dolphins team. Dolphins team is a mess right now.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that's how everybody should look at the Dolphins at this. I'm sure the Jags and Stanky Fingers was looking at this game going, hey, this is a winning game. You know what I mean? My only suggestion last week was that, when you play the Jags, dude, don't shake hands with Urban Meyer. You don't know where those fingers have been, you know?
Well, you do know where they've been. And let's be honest, Kamen, Nebraska was a pretty damn good-looking girl. The problem is he's a married man. Have you seen some of the outtake pictures of her before she deleted her Instagram? She's got some bikini shots that are pretty damn good.
No, she's a smoke show. The bat was going into the right cave. There's no doubt about that. I can't deny that. What do you see on our side here on this mess from an outsider's point of view? How do you view the Dolphins?
I mean, the mismanagement of all these draft choices has really come to fruition. The mismanagement of guys that they cut. When you look at those linebackers, and it's Andrew Van Ginkle and Jerome Baker, yet you let Kyle Van Noy go, who might have been the most rock-solid guy that you had. You know, you missed on draft choices. Austin Jackson, the day they drafted him at number 18, what the hell are you drafting this guy for? He's a project left tackle, and you've never really put anything around Tua Tagovailoa. This year, I was all on the Najee Harris train. I wanted a running back for Miami because Miles Gaskin, he's a backup at best. Salvin Ahmad, he's a journeyman running back. Malcolm Brown, he's
got a nice receiver. That's about it. That's what I like. That's it.
But he's not a guy that I want taking 25 snaps at running back. I wanted a bell cow to help Tua Tagovailoa. They didn't do that.
Gaskins is actually a beautiful number two.
Yes.
I think he's a perfect number two in the NFL, actually. You got to get a stud, and then the guy that spells you one out of every three series, that would be Miles Gaskin. I like that.
You know, I have no problem with that.
As a pass catcher.
Well, and then my other part to that is you sat at number three, you trade back. I understand you're acquiring future assets. Then you give up a first-round pick to move back up and get a receiver. You could have sat where you were and either got Jaylen Waddle or got Devontae Smith and not had to give up future assets. The problem with the mess in Miami is they mismanaged what was a cash cow of draft choices, and now here you are, and the only reason you potentially trade for a Deshaun Watson is you have a general manager that knows he's probably going to get fired and a head coach that's probably feeling the same heat as well, and now you're going to go with a desperation move and try to place the blame on Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I personally don't think they're even trying to trade for Watson. I think this is all coming from Houston. I think they would try to trade for him in the offseason if he becomes available because he's innocent. But, John, so it sounds to me like you're with some of the Dolphin Nation. They have failed Tua. Don't believe Tua is a failure, right? Because I personally think, look, I wouldn't have drafted him in the first place because of the injury history. That scared the crap out of me. But I've never denied that I truly believe he can be a franchise quarterback. But, dude, give him a line. Give him a real offensive coordinator. Give him receivers that he can count on. Give him a running game. Dude, help him out a little bit, and then he can be a player. But if you're expecting him to carry, you know, make chicken salad out of chicken shit, that's not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen.
I watched Drew Brees, who's one of the five or six greatest quarterbacks to play this game. When the Saints were bad for about 3 or 4 years and they go 7-9, it was because he had no defense. He had a mismanaged offensive line. He had banged up receivers. Tua can't pull magic out of his hat. He threw for 300 and some odd yards a week ago, two touchdowns. He did throw a bad interception on an underthrow in cover two. But how could you look at that game and say, well, it was Tua's fault that the defense couldn't get a stop? You had a 4th-and-1 play, which I thought was asinine to go for it on 4th-and-1 at your own 45-yard line. Punt the ball, play into overtime, and try to win a football game. Yet you gave Trevor Lawrence a half a field and a kicker who had just nailed a 50-yarder. They have failed Tua Tagovailoa. He started 11 games in this league. How many guys have played 11 games and then suddenly 25 games from now they're superstar players? You got to give this dude a chance.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So I'm glad you're with me on that one, because I feel bad for Tua. I think they just have really – they've done everything for him to fail, basically, is what they've done. All right, Canes. Dude, I've been talking about this. We're back to the 70s, and I know you're not that old, but I am.
Yes, I am.
I went to – yeah, but, I mean, you weren't, like, biking to the Orange Bowl in the 70s. No. I'm old. So – but I remember going and watching Joe Montana when Notre Dame came into town. I think it was 79 or something like that. And, you know, there's 8,000 people or 9,000 people. Joe Montana was a nobody. It was just – what I'm telling you is I remember going to the Orange Bowl and watching the Canes when nobody was there. And they were – we could get tickets for a couple of bucks, or I could roll up $3 or $4 together and just give it to the person – that's tearing tickets in the Orange Bowl, because back in the day you have to wait for kickoff,
right?
And then everything is settled in. Then you walk up and there's nobody around. You hand the person $3-$4 rolled up, and you walk right in and you watch the game. I've done that. I did that for the Super Bowl for Dallas and the Steelers. I got in for $5 rolled up. Okay,
nice.
A freaking Super Bowl. I mean. But again, this is another era, another time, another place. I think we're back there again, because I try to tell UM fans that you got to stop wanting the old days. They're not going to come back. Frank doesn't care about winning like they do at Oklahoma and Alabama and Ohio State, where the president is with the AD and mm-hmm. with the head coach, and everybody believes at Baylor that football is king, and that at USC, even though they're failing in finding the guy, but they want to go find the guy and they'll spend the money because everybody's in line. Are you there with me already at this point that it doesn't matter even if they fire Manny? They're going to bring in another Randy and another Al or another Manny. They're really not ever going to spend the kind of money they need to get a head coach, an offensive coordinator, and a defensive coordinator, because you and I know you got to have about $10 to $12 million a year
yep.
just for those three guys.
Yeah, I am there, and it's really taken this season to get there. You know, preseason, we're preseason 14. I went to the game here in Atlanta against Alabama, and I truly thought I bought the BS of 19 returning starters, six-year offensive linemen. Manny's done, he's taken back over the defense. We're going to be good. We got De'Eriq King. He's 25 years old. It's awesome. We're going to be good. And I watched within about 5 minutes of that Alabama game, we were so overmatched, it wasn't even fun. And it was embarrassing. Then I flew down 2 weeks later to go to the Michigan State game because I am that fan. I want to be there. They announced 45,000 people. That's a damn lie. There was about 25,000 sitting in there, and 8,000 of them were Michigan State fans. Miami fans are fed up. The best thing that may have happened to the program, the only reason I'll disagree about this much, not a lot, just about this much, Kirk Herbstreit saying what he said on College Game Day, that the program doesn't care, I'm hoping embarrassed somebody at the university or the somebody's, the billionaires, the board of trustee members, to where they, and maybe they don't give a shit. Maybe they really don't care. Because it's, as long as,
you know what, John, if you drive around town, dude, there's a new medical building all over the yeah. place. And they print money, dude. It's not a matter if they have the money or they don't. My brother, they lead the charge in medicine.
I am so...
You go to the hospital and they'll charge you $300 for an effing aspirin, bro, when you look at your bill. Okay, I had 5 stents in my heart. You know how much it cost me? Well, it didn't cost me. It cost the insurance $500,000, dude. And I was there for only 2 weeks. You know,
I'm so glad you said that.
$500,000. I would be broke for the rest of my life if I had to pay that. They are making hand over. They print more money than the feds can print, than Biden's printing right now, dude. They can pay. They have no interest.
And that's the thing. But I'm glad you said that, Owen. There are intelligent people in the media. I have argued on social media probably for too long, and I allow my heart and my fandom to get involved. My argument is the school has money. And I've argued with former players. They don't have money. I said, you are so full of crap if you think that school doesn't have money to go pay $10 million if they want to. They don't prioritize it, and part of it because they're all in each other's pocket. Think about this for a second. Manny Diaz has a job. Why? Because Mark Richt wanted him to have a job, and his daddy was the mayor of Miami. Gino Demare has a job as the baseball coach because Paul Demare is one of the biggest big money donors at the school. Neither one of those guys were qualified, and I've always been under the MO. But
Gino's done a way better job than Manny Diaz. Let's give let's give Gino a little love, because Gino has done more with the baseball program than I ever expected. I thought they were completely dead in the water, and he's actually given them some life. So let's give Gino a little love. I mean,
But I think he got the job. Remember, he sat there for the last 2 years with Jim Morris when Jim Morris had just crapped the program down the leg. My point to that is the Board of Trustees members are all in each other's pockets. And only if they ever wanted to prioritize football again will it be good. We're at a point where Miami is on the verge of, and I know they're naturally irrelevant right now, they're on the verge of locally to where people just go, you know what, I got other things to do. The 30,000 diehards, myself, the Cutler Ridge lads, the Mondos, the guys that go to every game, even were to the point, I canceled my season tickets this year for the first time since 2003 because I'm sick of the crap. I'm sick of spending money on dog crap. And that's what the program has become.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you, man, because that's why I think unfortunately, we're back to the 70s.
Can we find somebody like that?
And that's the next thing that I've told fans, that the next time you find a good coach, he'll have a good year, win 9 or 10, get to the Peach Bowl, the Gator Bowl, and then he's gone.
Right.
And he's not going to stick around because you're not going to pay. You know, it's like some guy reached out to me, well, we should go get Luke Fickell. And I go, dude, Luke Fickell is going to get a top-notch job with a university that's going to pay for him to have an exceptional offensive and defensive coordinators, because that's what you've got to do in college football. And they're not going to spend that kind of money. So even if they do find an up-and-coming coach, it'll be a stepping stone type of thing, and he'll be off and running, because in the end, we're not going to provide everything that that coach needs in order to succeed. And that, to me, is the problem at the University of Miami. And they could easily, dude, you and I know, if they actually spent the money on the coaches, it's not like they're not going to get it back. Their stadium will be packed. They'll sell 10 times the amount of paraphernalia that they're selling now. They'll be able to charge way more for all kinds of things, from club seats to advertising and all kinds of stuff. There are so many ways that they can make their revenue back from paying for those coaches. But you need an athletic director that is a lot like God, the guy that was fighting Tad Foote all the time.
Sam Jankovic.
Sam Jankovic. You're going to need a Sam Jankovic. And the guy you have now is no Sam Jankovic.
Yeah,
that's the problem. That Sam Jankovic was a Cowboy, and he cared about football. And Tad Foote is just like Julio Frank. He didn't give a shit about football, dude.
He wanted football dead. He didn't want any parts of the Renegade Canes back in the 80s. Blake James is just a puppet.
And, dude, I think they fear that, too, that if you go for elite, you're also going to bring in some characters that are going to, you know, give you some stains along the way.
My thing is, you know, even at this point, are we ever going to be national title good? Probably not. But could we be 9-10 win good in a dog crap ACC and be in Charlotte 3 out of every 5 years? Yeah. And that's the part to me that's the most embarrassing. I work with Joe Hamilton, played at Georgia Tech. And I'm nervous we're going to lose to Georgia Tech. I just talked to Matt Schaub this morning, and Schaub was like, I didn't even want to call you, John, because I know how you felt when you missed a field goal. And I have fans that try to tell me, yeah, but they're close. I said, when the hell did the criteria of Miami be our kids play hard and we were close? That's the most embarrassing step back crap that I've ever heard. I get so frustrated every time I think about Miami. I mean, you see, I still wear my Cane stuff every day, but – you know, Saturday night, 7:30, I'll sit there, I'll scream and yell on Twitter, and it changes zero.
Yeah, I'm with you. What's the prediction? Who wins this weekend, Dolphins or Falcons?
I'm going to take the Falcons. I'll take the Falcons minus the points. I think they really have turned a corner. You're going to see our defensive coordinator and Dean Pease. He's been around the block, Baltimore, everywhere else. He is going to make life miserable. Blitzes from everywhere. Make Tua stand in there and hold it. And more than anything, make your offensive line try to block us. I obviously don't know the injury status as of yet for Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. If they're not there, the Falcons do get Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage back, or 1 and 2. And I think they finally figured out with Kyle Pitts what to do. And that's going to be a matchup nightmare down the middle of the field for the Dolphins. I'll say 24-17, Falcons get the dub.
Yeah, and by the way, Vegas feels the same way. They've got the Falcons favored on the road for this one. So they feel like the Falcons are going to win it. Follow him on Twitter at John Michaels U, and you can catch him at 680 The Fan and also at State of the U. John, as always, my brother, thank you for taking some time. I appreciate you.
Anytime. Great to talk to you.
You got it, baby. Be good. There you go. John Michaels, man. Good people, as always, out in Atlanta.